I'm talking about the word wait. The word what? Wait. That's where the problem is for most people. I've told everybody here before, please enjoy poverty when you are young. It's a nice time to be poor. If you were not poor when you are young, when do you plan to do it now? You don't know you have to have a story of poverty to tell. All the people you are running after, is that not why you enjoy their stories? If Fela Dulote didn't tell the story of the 5 naira, you think the message was sweet like that? Half of the message is predicated upon the fact that there was a time he swept the floor to collect 5 naira. For the joy that was set before him. He didn't hear that Jesus Christ endured the cross. There's a cross in every life which you must pass through. That's what makes the story complete. Alright? The Bible talks about the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. So when do you want to do your own? You want to suffer yourself when you are 60? That is when you will know you sinned. Listen. If you are 20-something and you are suffering, it's not sin. But when you are 60-something and you are suffering, that one is iniquity. It's judgment. No, sometimes I look at some old people. Even if you don't have money, by now your children should love you enough to give you all that they have. So, you don't have money, and none of your children love you. Now, I'm not saying they must be rich. To make sure that you are not working as a 60-year-old man selling newspaper. No, I'm serious. I'm not saying you must be rich. That's why I believe one of the first assignments of young people is to make their parents comfortable. No, that's my personal gospel. All right? Your first assignment is not to build a church. You say, this one's unto the Lord. That one is also unto the Lord. No, listen. we're going to talk on how to work for God this weekend. Just don't miss it. Next weekend. You don't know that as people see your father, they suffer somewhere, they go swear for you. You will never suffer, you will never prosper in life. All the amount of utterances that's going out. See, this man does not have children. And then they say it, your tire go bust. You see, this man does not have children. And then they say it, the roof over the house where you are living, breeze will blow it. You will be any money into pocket with holes. You won't know why. You say, Pastor, I think witches are after me. Yes, they are. All the witches on the street, all normal persons have become witches because of the iniquity of what you have refused to do. That's by the way. This is the point I'm making. When do you want to be broke in life? You have to make a choice. Is it when I'm 60 or when I'm 20-something? If you have to make a choice, I'm sure you know which choice to make. But do you know the point? A lot of people don't care. The only reason why you care is because you're hearing the gospel. And the Spirit of Christ is moving in you. A lot of jokers out there don't care. They can't stand the shame of their friends that are driving cars they are not. They can't stand it. That people are doing great things. Jay-Z is making 34 million. After all, are we not both human beings? That is what they are thinking. So God gives a man a vision. He can't wait for it. You hear that T.D. Jakes is flying around the world in 2 private jets. And he says, hey, my God can do it also. Yes, the same God you are saying, no wahala. But if he's the one you are using as a yardstick, ask him how many years he pastored, that you never heard of him, and nobody ever did. I was discussing with somebody the other day. Julia Roberts, the Hollywood star. You know, I don't know about now. As a few years ago, you know how much you used to earn per movie? Can I remember? $20 million. That is before, once she signs the contract, you pay her $20 million. Whether the movie bombs or succeeds, none of her business. Once she signed the contract that you shall be Pretty Woman, that was after she made Pretty Woman anyway. You shall be so-and-so movie, maybe Erin Brockovich or whatever. You pay her $20 million first. Those days, Prince, how many of you know Prince? Prince was paid, I think, $10 million every time he finished singing. I apologize, that figure now. Or whether for one album. Or they paid him $10 million to do 10 albums. That is, whether the album will go good or go bad, do not concern Prince. He has collected your $10 million and spent it. And then they say, what did we say that time? They give you a microphone, you go begin sing. A lot of people, that's what they see. One day I heard George Clooney say this. that an average actor in Hollywood earns less than $1,000 a month. That's where I'm going to. That the average pay in Hollywood is $10,000 per annum. You know what I said? If you sweep gutter in America, you earn at least $1,000 a month. But that the average actor in America earns more than 90% earn $10,000 in a whole year. And I see everybody wants to be Genevieve. Motola Jolade. What's another girl's name? Inedo. You know, I used to live in the guest house on campus. And these movie stars used to come there to do movies. And so they were my neighbors. And they used to come out in the morning. I see all these small, small aspiring ones. They used to pay them 1,000 naira a movie. I still remember one day I was out there in the reception and two girls were discussing. He said, I think they have increased it now to 3 cents. I'll be in 3 cents. How much are they paying? 3,000 naira. Not story. I didn't read that one in the book. I was there in Enugu here. UNEC, guest house on campus. Some local was used to be my neighbor very frequently. Used to wake up in the morning smoking and drinking coke. And come back at night drunk, always. You see that drunken stage you see on his face? It's real. No be acting. He's not acting. Ask my wife. They even used our car for a movie at the time. It was very good. They paid me only 1,000 naira, but I needed it badly. Was it 1,000 or 2,000 they paid? Can't even remember. I think it was 1,000 naira. But that 1,000 was the will of God, my brother. I counted the money. I needed it. We just came from Lagos that time. Just came to Enugu. It was tight. So I remember one day. Just by the way, in the morning like this, we didn't have any money. So I told my wife, well, don't worry, God will do something this morning that I'm going to go and teach a revision course for gynecologists. So they're doing a revision course. And I'm teaching 2 lectures that they will pay. It's all right. Do you know? As God will have it. I thought that if they give me 1,000 naira per lecture, it will be 2,000 naira. So I told my wife, don't worry. At least I'm coming back home with 2K minimum. To my shock, when they paid, the guy said, please, I have to go. Can I just say, I'm just settled this? I said, please sign here. I saw the money I was signing for. For 4,000 naira per lecture. 8K. I wanted to collapse on the spot. I remember very well. I couldn't wait to go and tell my wife, the Lord is good. Say it all the time. The Lord is good. Now, why am I telling this story? A lot of people are just out there envying. You think that that's the way it is with everybody in that profession. Not necessarily like that. I'm telling those stories to tell people that in your own line that God has called you to, you can become anything, but you must be ready to do what? Wait. Wait is not just to sit by idle, you know? Just sit idly doing nothing. Waiting for Christians, all right, is an active process. You know why a lot of people get tired of waiting? I preached that message before. On how to wait for God. Yes, I think we have a message like that. How to wait for God. Please go and listen to it. How to wait for God. Waiting for God is an active process. Don't ever forget this thing I said. We'll discuss it again on Saturday. This issue of prayer being about the most powerful thing. Don't forget what you're supposed to do as a believer. You pray, you prophesy, and you do what? You offer up spiritual sacrifices. I began that last Saturday. I'll finish it this Saturday. That all you have been called to do in life is worship. That's all. After that, ask God for anything. You know, before people would preach and say, when Jesus said ask for anything, he meant anything. He was not discriminating whether you're a Gentile or a Jew. He just said, if anybody will have faith. You know, I used to say that too. But I now realize in recent times that, don't forget one thing. When he was talking to his disciples. He didn't grow on the rooftop and say, if anybody, Jew or Gentile, sinner or believer. He didn't say that. Peter and Co came to him and he will answer Peter and James and John and Philip and all of them and tell them things. Some things were implicit in his statement that these are worshippers of the true God. What am I saying? When Jesus said, if you ask the Father for anything, believe me, if you're a true worshipper, ask him for anything. one of the greatest things I believe I would have done in your life, all right, as a preacher, is to enable you ask God for literally anything. I'm going to pray with my wife either this night or tomorrow night. I thought about this yesterday. And we want to ask God for some crazy things. Today, now maybe you are trying to sell a recharge card and make some more money. Please, ask God for a GSM network. I wish you would get what I'm saying. Oh my God, I wish you would get this point. We have not learned to ask God for anything. You see, I talked about vision. In line with my vision, I am asking God for anything. And when I settle down, in fact, the more I eat, the more I ask God for anything. For those of you around co-workers meeting, when I told, I remember Uju's mouth almost fell to the floor when I just mentioned how much we are going to be spending monthly from next year on our broadcast bills. If Cosmo FM comes back, we are talking almost 400,000 naira a month. Think I'm scared? If I'm scared now, God will kick me out of ministry. Because where we are going, what am I even talking? Bishop Oyedepo was preaching once. He said he pays several millions of dollars monthly as overhead. Staff bills, maintenance, stuff like that. You know what they call dollars? I didn't say naira. And I have discovered that God indeed can do exceedingly abundantly far above anything that you can ask or even think about. So I have, look, I like the way Robert Shula said it once. He told the architect, design a building all made of glass. How much money do you have? He said, what's your budget limit? He said, no. He said, design a building. The man said, what's your budget limit? He said, if it's $1,000, I don't have. If it's $2,000, I don't have. Whatever you do, I don't have the money. So money is not an object. Just do it. The only thing I want is for you to make it all of glass. And the architect said, it's impossible. So he took his dictionary and gave the architect, please check for me the meaning of the word impossible. The man opened, got there, and saw that in that dictionary, he had used scissors to cut out the word impossible. Can I have my dictionary back? Please design it for me. Believe me, if you ask God for what? We will pray with a short prayer. The first prayer you ask God, what is my vision? I was talking about waiting for a believer. Once you have asked God for anything, then you start waiting for it. How do you wait for it? Go and read that, listen to that message, how to wait for God. That my cousin was telling you about. If you were to wake up one day and ask God for 5 universities, 3 in Africa, 1 is in Europe, and 1 in maybe North America or South America, wherever. God now says, start waiting. You know what he'll start doing? He will start reading. He will start teaching those children in that secondary school with all his heart. He will teach them as if I don't teach this children, they don't succeed, I can't succeed. Are you getting what I'm saying? He will teach them. He will buy books. He will learn. He will keep reading. And like Oral Roberts used to say, and Bishop Oyedepo used to say, they practice. Everywhere you go to university, you start looking. How do they do university here? Is that the kind of building? Is it necessary? You start researching. That's how Christians wait. These days, you know, because we now do TV broadcasts. All right? Anytime I'm watching television, in fact, I know they're here when they talk again. How did the cameramen, where are they standing? Why are they like that? Why is that in this color? Those are the things I see. Are you getting my point? From time, MP3 CDs. As God is my witness, before we started doing MP3 CDs, I had never seen MP3 CDs done in Nigeria. At least not by ministries. I wasn't copying anybody locally. When I was in university, long ago, or shortly after, there's one man, R.B. Thiem, that's his name, an American preacher. He used to advertise that he had MP3 CDs that he used to give out free. His things were free. So if you are if you are, there's ways they gave out free MP. I didn't even know what the MP3 CDs were until I went and investigated and found out. So when my friend went to America, the first thing, he happened to have gone to Texas. So the first thing I told him to do was to help me get that man's materials. So he sent me the man's MP3 CD. And I realized that, oh, because you see, before then, because you know the way I teach, like now, Fruitful Life was supposed to be like 4 messages. It's number 10 is this Saturday. All right? And once I went to go and preach for a friend of mine, and I took our tips along. And the spiritual economics, you can imagine, 13 tips. And I bind them together. You can't buy one. If you want, you buy 13. That's how we used to do it. I remember then when I went to University of Benin to preach, we brought all the tapes. Guys, they would gather money and buy one set. Okay, guys, go and share it. That's how they used to do it, you know? MP3s were just so, like, an answer to my problem. So spiritual economics is, instead of 13 cassettes, is where, actually it's 14 cassettes. It's message 1 to 13. Number 13 is on 2 tapes, 13A and 13B. So there are 14 tapes, you're now on one single MP3 CD. The message on faith we put on radio, 26 messages, is on 2 MP3 CDs. It's so convenient. It's so convenient. I thank God for that wisdom. But how did I get it? All those, some of those wisdom that we use? Is while, you know what I mean? I'm talking about the presence of waiting. You start looking around how people are doing things. You see the tracks we print? Let me be honest. Which tracks did you ever see like that before you saw the Supreme Word from Kingdom World Ministries? So long. Last, for information, that is half the size of a mini book. This is these mini books that we have there. It's exactly double the size of an average tract. In fact, the righteousness of God, that particular one, was a tract. I wrote this article first, all right, for my alumni magazine. Then I wanted to put in a tract. I shortened it, removed some things to make put into a tract. But the letters were so small, so I put it out of tract and put into a mini book. Be honest with me. Did you ever see that before you saw our one? But didn't you notice that I saw it before? And I didn't invent it from heaven. No? Like, you just wake up. Oh, brethren, as I was just praying one morning, the Holy Spirit just said, put them into tracts. And said, my Lord, which kind of tracts are we going to use? And I realized that this tract, it happens once in a while, but it's not often. When I was in university, I got one single tract by E.W. Kenyon. I'm talking about 1988. I got a second one. They gave me one of their books years later. There was one tract inside, and I kept it. And I kept the tract that this is a fantastic medium for teaching. When I was about to start ministry, I remembered the tract. I didn't have it anymore. But I went to my friend who used to design for me. I described and described. So as I'm describing, he will be folding paper like this. Okay, let's do it this way. Let's do it this way. I said, yes. I said, it used to be quite thick. He said, okay, good. We'll use 100-gram paper. The paper we normally use like 70 grams. So, okay, let's use 100-gram. So when the first tract came out, I said, this is my dream embodied in flesh. Do you understand my point? That's how Christians wait. It's not just sleeping. Say, I know that one day God shall do something. We're just sleeping. We just believe that one day God, no. God has a vision for each day. Are you getting my point? I was talking to one brother. I saw him again as I was coming up. I saw him here last week. Getting about his business. And we talk for like 15, 20 minutes. And I told him, I said, this is how it starts. And one day, you will be a Dangote's competitor. But you know what a lot of people think waiting is? You drag a chair, you sit down. You say, dear Lord, what you can do for Dangote, you can do much more for your child. Pastor Banky said, all we need to do is worship. So you wake up in the morning. We worship you, Lord. We worship you till night. And Lord, okay, not worship for one day. No. There is an assignment for each day. That's why I preach another message, occupy daily. Can you remember that one? Please go and get those tips and listen to them again. Occupy daily and how to wait for God. What I'm emphasizing there is the word wait. Do you understand? Wait. Vision. You wait for them. I started by explaining that visions give you direction. Where do I go? Where do I not go? What do I do? What do I not do? And the prayer we're going to pray shortly for today, our time is almost up, is that prayer of God, what is the vision you want me to focus on? He may not answer it immediately by a dream, but for some people, he will. I have prayed prayers like that and God answered on the spot. Answered so hard I fell into my chair. It happens. In fact, that one, I've had several experiences. As I am praying, the answer drops. It's as if somebody just split my head open, threw the answer into it, and shot it. I remember one answer that I fell as it hit my head and sank in. It dropped me into my chair instantly. But other times, no. As you begin to meditate, ideas continue to come, and you fine-tune them with time. What have I tried to say today? Please, when you have a vision, don't let the fact that Jay-Z made $34 million in 1 year throw you off your vision. Let me say this again quickly. Christians have not been called to make money. I was listening to Odulele this morning. One man, one Dr. Odulele, preaches on Omega Channel also, and on INI, and I think also on TBN. And these are the kind of things we should. These are the kind of visions we should be having. Are you getting my point? Why should we sit down on Omega alone? I mean, you know, Pastor Chris and I were not friends, all right? But I love the penetration he has in Nigerian media. I love the quality of his recording, the quality of their production, and the fact that they are just everywhere. That's a vision. Anyway, that's by the way. I was going to quote something that Odulele said, all right? Okay, now, I forgot what I was going to quote. That's what the lady said. We're talking about... What was I saying? Why was I talking about the lady anyway? Okay, yes, good. I remember. I said that Christians are not... making money in itself is not a vision for Christians. Say, God, what do you want to do? God, I want to make $500 million. That's not the vision. That's stupidity, all right? It's like, say, God, what do I want to do? Father God, please, I want to have a lot of vanity. Vanity. Give me plenty of vanity. That's my vision. Are you getting my point? If your $500 million doesn't have a value in real things, you are confused. You are still engaging the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. What do I mean? If you want to build a university to affect people and it's valued at $500 million, that's $500 million. But it's not the money, it's the university. Are you getting my point? If you want to improve air travel in Nigeria, or even rail travel, you know, we don't have rails in Nigeria. We should have. It can be your vision. Why do you say Lagos Benin Express is always spoiled? Why won't it spoil? We're discussing the other day, the trucks are heavy. They are overloaded. They don't distribute the weight. What spoils those roads are the trucks. Where things work properly, they weigh the trucks before you put them on the road. They weigh the tires. You don't know that the pressure each tire is putting. So the load is too plenty. They say, go and get a 32-wheeler. You can't put this on a 16-wheeler. You're going to spoil the road. They tell you, put it on a 32-wheeler. You know that. Those are visions. Are you getting my point? So the man was saying, when I was listening to him, he said, look, Christian, you can't say God. Okay, I want plenty of money. He was trying to explain that. That what you are supposed to do is create wealth. There are some thoughts that are going through my mind. I feel like sitting down with the governor and telling him how to make money in the state. You know, we can create what I call Enugu currency. Now, not paper currency. But there's a way, I can't discuss it now. There's a way the governor can do it so that what we are spending on road, we'll spend half of it. So we can do double the amount of roads. How to pay people is not the issue. You create, I don't have time to explain it. You create a local kind of currency. You won't give them money cash. You don't even have to borrow money from federal government. They say, well, you just do it. You give people tokens and redeem it with land somewhere. They will work their lives out. I'm telling you. I don't have time to explain that. You don't know, it was in the last few days I understood why the Bible talked about the Antichrist and his ability to control whether men sell, all right, or buy. It dawned on me that assuming this state governor has 50,000 men and women ready to work, ready to build houses, you know, lay roads and do all those things, he still has to go and borrow money to pay them. Why? Why should he borrow money? After all, money, all right, is what we are able to do. How come he has to borrow money to pay them when we are there? 50,000 of us were ready to work for each other and work for the state and work for the government. We don't need to get money from anywhere. But the way the structure of the world is, one man will just control the cash. Though you have the resources, you have the manpower, you have everything, he will tell you you don't have money. And you're like, what do I need money for? But the ability to communicate between you and the person who's working is called cash. You don't have to go and borrow it from IMF. I now understood why the IMF could control us, even though we had the resources, we had the manpower, we had everything. To work for you, to work for me, I still borrow money from America. It doesn't make sense. Anyway, the point I'm making is that, listen, we draw our visions, all right? It's not in monetary terms. It's a creation of wealth. I know I have certain ideas that, I don't know. Some of you guys, if you listen to me more often so that you carry, package it as a proposal and go and give it to the governor. All right? You'll be amazed. It will work. We're starting an NGO very shortly. I will announce it here. It's not Kingdom Worth starting NGO. It's me, Ola Yinka. My wife has agreed to join. Somebody else in church has joined. To affect, we'll start with Enugu State. By the time we finish, it'll be whole of Africa. Just watch it. But please, don't come there to look for money. We won't give you money. In fact, we'll take your own money. Either physically in cash or in a few hours of work every weekend. We'll discuss that later. But the point I'm just making is that it's visions for believers, all right? It's the creation of something that is real and tangible. You don't just wake up and say, God, I have a vision of vanity. Say, God, say, what do you mean by vanity? Say, 500 million naira. That's not a vision. Is that all right? But once God has given you a real vision, then there's a time of waiting. Even though it tarries, that time is an active process. Please go and listen to those messages again, how to wait for God and occupy daily, all right? And you'll discover the things that I don't want to start teaching them again, also because our time is gone. Let's just pray for a few minutes. Our time is really gone. Well, I want to just pray a simple prayer. And you've heard me from the things I said, all right? So let us pray. Just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word that I've heard this evening. I ask, Lord, that you give me an understanding of my own vision. Say, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What is the vision for today that I'm supposed to work on? What is the vision for today that will affect my work with you? What's the vision for today? Things that I will do and I will be pleasing to you. Ask God for it now. Say, Lord, I reject the lust of the eyes. I reject the lust of the flesh. And I reject the pride of life. I reject the lust of the eyes. I reject the lust of the flesh. And I reject the pride of life. Those are not the things that I'm looking for. They are the things I do not want. But I want to impact my generation. I want to walk in the path that you set for me to walk in when you created me. What is my vision? Reveal that to me. I've had my own plans. I've had my own ideas. But Lord, what is your vision for my life? So that I might walk with restraint, so that I might walk with direction. It's a very simple prayer. Pray it in your own words. You can use the same words I've been using. All right? You can use those same words. It will work very well. Or you can use your own words.